This call is being recorded.
Happy Friday, declare victory. My name's Andrew. Who's with me on the call?
Good morning, Brother Andrew. This is Sister Veronica. Happy Friday.
Hey, Sister Veronica. How you doing this AM?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm on the wake-up list.
Hey. It beats the other list.
I made it to the weekend.
All right. All right. What plans have thee for this weekend?
Rest.
Yes.
Rest.
Self-care is essential.
Yes. I run all week so I can rest on the weekend, at least Saturday.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds good. Because a lot of people fail to do the self-care, and it's a scriptural mandate, because our temple is the body of the Holy Spirit.
It's important to take care of yourself. It's very important.
But people act like that's being selfish. I mean, you can't. Yes, ma'am.
They call me selfish Susie. I just suck it up and just go and just smile. And hey, if that's what you feel, that's what you feel. Because I got to take care of myself.
Yeah. Because there are things that are laid to your hand specifically to do. And if you don't do them, you know, God doesn't let you exchange six over here for half a dozen over there. He told you to do this.
Yeah.
This needs done. You can leave that for a later date, or somebody else can pick up the slack. But that isn't your issue. He told you to do this. You know what I mean? So it's just like raising kids. When you when you're talking to them and you ask them a question and they start hem-hawing all over the place, and you got to get them back on track, like, no. Answer the question that I ask you. Don't respond with what you think I want to hear.
Yeah.
You know, just and again, it's the simpler task. Just do what you were told. Now you got to stay in communication with him. You got to stay plugged into the Holy Spirit, because your marching orders might not come like mine do.
Good morning, okay? Susie.
Hey, Susie. Happy Friday. Good morning to you, sister.
Good morning, Brother Andrew.
How you doing this morning?
I'm hanging in here, just concerned about Rick.
Okay. Well, we still have him lifted up.
Thank you.
Hello.
Good morning. Happy Friday, Sister Julia.
I'm not doing so good. I don't got horse too in my... I've been in the hospital for my gout, and so I'm just, I don't know what's going on, just stressing me out.
Okay,
Sister Julia, Rick has to go in for possibly open heart surgery.
Okay.
So just be blessed.
You want me to come up there with you?
No, I don't know what day yet.
Okay, let me know. I'll come up there with you to the hospital.
I sure will.
I love everybody. I like helping everybody.
We love you too, sister.
Yes.
Now, have they determined that he needs it, Susie,
or is it
still up in the air?
He has to go in for the angiogram. We don't know if it's going to be Sunday or Monday, and then that's going to determine how much needs to be
done. Yeah, so he's still in the assessment stage.
Yes, exactly. So we're praying hard that he won't have to have a stent put in.
Gotcha.
Okay, well, you keep me up with it. Don't have me come over there and knock on that door and keep the door in. Get by my brother and you.
Oh, no, you know I won't. I'll let you know.
Love
you back.
And if you want me to come to the house.
Good morning, Pretty Patrice. Good morning, family.
Hey. Good morning, Pretty Patrice. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Good morning, it's Deborah Evans.
Good morning, Deborah Evans. Happy Friday.
Good morning, Brother Andrew and everybody.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning.
Hey, Andrew. Brother Andrew.
Good morning.
Happy Friday, Sister Yvonne. And
good morning, Andrew. It's Diane. Good morning. Happy Friday.
Good morning, Diane. Happy Friday. Happy birthday to you, Sister Yvonne. I didn't get a chance to tell you yesterday.
Good morning, Sister Tracy.
Good morning, Sister Tracy. Happy Friday. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I'm early. I beat everybody else to it.
Brother Andrew, I just get a prayer today. I need a prayer. I'm going through so much.
Yeah, we'll keep you lifted.
Okay, my birthday is next month, too.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Yes, but I just need a prayer. This gap is killing me. And now I'm forced. I can't hold it off. But I love y'all.
Well, we'll keep you lifted up. Make sure you drink your cherry juice. 100%. 100%. Not a blend. Okay? Not an aid. Not cherry aid.
You got to be 100%. Enjoy your Friday. I'll have an update on how long this.
Good morning, Victory family. It's Pam. Happy Friday. Love you, Pam.
Happy Friday, Pam. God bless you.
God bless you, too.
It's a happy Friday to declare victory. My name is Andrew. Who's just joining us on the call this morning?
Hey, Brother Andrew. It's Mona.
Good morning, Mona. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Good morning, Andrew. It's Marcus. Requesting prayer from my brother, Andre. He lost his son on Tuesday. And the family's kind of devastated, so just pray for our family and my brother in particular. Thank you.
Yes, sir. What's your brother's name again?
My brother's name is Andre.
Andre, gotcha. We'll keep you lifted, sir.
Thank you so much.
There's bereavement in the land. There's sickness in the land. There's trouble in the land, but we're here on this Men's Day, Friday morning, to go to the throne for ourselves and others. My name is Andrew. Who's with me on the call? Today's a heavy lifting day. We need to lift each other up. Everybody is going through and facing something. And if you woke up without facing anything, the day ain't over yet. So please, ma'am, please, sir, keep all of us on your mind. And we will do the same. It's a happy Friday. Declare victory. My name is Andrew. Who's with me on the call?
Good morning, it's Barbara out of Lodi. God bless everyone.
God bless you, sister. Happy Friday.
Happy.
This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And the way David said it, that's not an option. It's a command. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal the land. Land needs healing, y'all. It's a happy Friday. Declare victory. My name is Andrew. Who's with me on the call?
Yo, good morning. What's up?
Brother Eric. Good to hear your sound this morning.
And good to hear your sound, Brother Andrew.
Amen. According to the clock on the wall and the one on my phone, it's time we got started. So I'm going to implore everyone, man, woman, boy, and girl, under the sound of my voice, to address the mute feature on your phone. Mm-hmm. Activate it and make sure it stays activated throughout the call so that as the gospel is being dispensed and hearts are being affected, no distraction can impede the same. My name is Andrew, and I'm your host for this morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. I'm so glad that you're joining us here because we are a prayer call that meets Monday through Saturday, starting at 6 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and we endeavor to edify, empower, encourage, and equip you in your walk with Christ. Please feel free to invite a friend so they can be blessed too. Today is Men's Day, when only men are scheduled in the lineup to bless you. Be sure to tune in this March, the entire month, as the teaching theme will be intentional growth, higher, deeper, wider, stronger. You don't want to miss the teaching, lessons, and the messages that the declarers are preparing as they hear from the Lord for his people. There are several announcements this morning. Firstly, no Friday Night Live tonight. Friday Night Live will not be live tonight, but will resume next week. Secondly, Wings of Love is having a special program. It's a six-hour prayer service with special speakers on the last hour of Jesus. Our very own Eric Smith will be a featured speaker. There will also be praise dance, music, communion, foot washing, and an agape feast afterwards. The date is Saturday, April 6th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Wings of Love Maranatha Ministries, located at 7007 MacArthur Boulevard, Oakland, California. That's 7007 MacArthur Boulevard, Oakland, Cali. We hope you can attend. There were no prayer listed on the app this morning, but there were several emergency requests. Firstly, we are still lifting Rick up before the throne regarding his assessment over whether he needs a stent in his heart or not. We're lifting Sister Julia because she's having severe problems with her gout situation. We're asking everyone to lift her before the throne. Our friend Bubbly is asking everyone to lift her up before the throne. She has a medical exam, and she needs and is seeking a clean, clear report. So we're lifting her up. Brother Marcus's brother, Andre, lost a son. The bereavement of a parent is very intense indeed. And we're lifting him and the whole family up before the throne, before the God of all comfort. And also, the land is in need of healing, great need. There are children still being harmed and abused. There are families being broken up. There is much suffering. There is harshness and just a hardcore harming being done to groups of vulnerable people, as if there is no love being dispensed. Please, these people need prayer, and we prayer warriors have the weapons and the means for their safety. So please lift them up. The order of the call is as follows. Declaration will be brought by Brother Moses. Leading prayer and corporate praise will be Brother Jeff. That order once again. The declaration will be rendered by Brother Moses. Prayer and corporate praise will be led by Brother Jeff. And then immediately following the corporate praise, Brother Moses will come back leading the question and answer session. Please, ma'am, please, sir, check your phone again and make sure the mute feature is activated. Drop in and get ready. Our journey to the throne begins momentarily. My name is Andrew Hook. I now pass the call. God bless you all.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you. It's very good to hear your voice again. It's good to be, I keep hearing that song, Reunited. And real quick, though, I want to ask if everybody could check and just ensure that their phone is on mute. And I want to just a real quick glance down and make sure you're on mute. I want to take a moment to honor some of our community right now, especially with a lot of the prayer requests that we had. And I know that Brother Jeff is going to address a lot of this. And I have full confidence that he is going to, with full power, address this. But I want to take a moment. I really feel on my heart that we should really take some time real quick. I can shorten the message real quick. And to be completely honest with you, I don't think there's any agenda that is more important than us following the Spirit of God to really minister to our own community and our own family and loved ones who are going through very intense moments, whether it's family that is currently in a medical condition or in the hospital or looking to be seen, or the fact that we have community members right now that have lost family very close to them. And this is not to say that any other point in time that anybody has lost a family member that we should have stopped and prayed. But I really feel that at this moment right now, together, to start off as coming together as a community to pray real quick, I think is very important. I really feel the Lord putting this on my heart. So if you would just take a moment to just check and make sure your phone's muted, as we're about to go into prayer. And I really want to honor God right now over our community right now. Oh, we want to lift up Marcus's family. We want to lift up Susie and her husband right now as they're, and I know exactly what it feels like to be in that situation. And also yesterday I lost a friend from high school as well yesterday. And for anybody out there right now who's recently lost a loved one, and if you want to just partner together right now as we come together as a community, and I'm gonna lead us in prayer real quick before we get in the message. And just let God minister right now. Father, we don't understand. God, we cannot begin to fathom, Lord. We cannot begin to contemplate, Lord, the way and the rhyme and the reason to some of the things that we experience on this planet. Lord, the reason why life is so short sometimes. Lord, the reason why we lose the ones that we love. Lord, when we see those text messages, when we see those phone calls, and we're just shocked. And our heart is beating fast, and we don't understand how that's possible, how these things can happen, Lord. There is a peace that comes from within you, Lord. There is a joy. There is an understanding that can only come from your heart, Lord, in those moments. And this is one of those moments, Lord, as your people, as your children, Lord, that we call out to you to receive that peace. We call out to you, Father, because you are the only one who can satisfy our questions. Lord, you are the only one who can satisfy our curiosity, Lord. And even those of us who are going through struggles right now that we can't tell anybody, we're going through struggles where we don't even know how to ask for prayer for some of what we're going through right now, Lord. I want to lift up every heart, every situation, Lord. And I'm asking you, Lord, I'm telling you that I want you to come down in this moment, Lord, over this service today, Lord, over every heart that's listening to me that is in pain right now, Lord. Over Marcus's family, Lord, over the Villanueva family that lost Michael yesterday, Lord, over the family members that are in hospitals today that are going in and out. Some of us, we're not in that place right now. We might not have the empathy to draw from. We might not have the words to say, but that's okay. From the heart of partnership, Lord, we partner with every single person who is grieving right now, Lord, every person who is hurting right now. We want to lift up every name to you, Lord. We want to lift up every family to you, Father, to be filled with the peace, to be filled with the joy, and that just transcends understanding, Lord, that we don't understand how we can be okay right now, but we're okay because of you right now. Lord, so I speak the mighty name of Jesus over every heart listening right now. Lord, I speak the name of Jesus over every life lost. Lord, I speak the name of Jesus over every medical result that is waiting to be read out loud to a worried family member right now, because this is real stuff. This is real life. This is not a prayer meeting. This is not a service. This is real life. Lord, there's real pain. There's real hurt. We need real comfort from a real God right now in this moment, Lord. I ask that you be with us. I ask that you guard our hearts, Lord, guard our minds, Lord, and that this message, most importantly, be edifying to you and build up the people, Lord, but that it build up your name to push us closer to you in faith, Lord, to push us closer to you in encouragement, Lord, and that we know that there is a prize set before us, and we have to fix it on that. We have to fix our eyes above on that, and we have to see this planet from heaven, Lord. I thank you. I celebrate the lives, Lord, that are walking into heaven this week, Lord. I celebrate those people, Lord, because they're in a place right now that makes this place look like the bottom of a trash can, Lord, because they're in a place that is so bright, that is so filled with your glory, that is so filled with your presence. There's nothing here that they would rather trade it for anymore, Lord, other than the loved ones that are going to you right now in this moment to trust you, that you're going to provide the peace and the comfort, Lord, that we're needing as family members, as community members, as loved ones. And we stand in the gap for our brothers and our sisters in this moment. So we thank you, Lord, and we give you all the glory, all the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank everybody for calling in today. I want to thank everyone for calling in yesterday. We had a really good Love, Life, and Victory discussion time yesterday, and it was very powerful, and it blessed me a lot, and I learned a lot yesterday. And I just want to thank everybody for being a part of that. I'm very honored to be back here again today, that you would take time out of your day to just call in and join with us and just honor God and see what God's saying today and what he's speaking today. And I know we're going to have a great message today. Today is a subject I didn't understand why I felt God putting it on my heart to talk about this today. I kind of wanted to do more of a part one, part two yesterday, but I really felt God putting this heavy on my heart. And even today, with a lot of the prayer requests, I kind of understand now. I think it really makes sense to me. This is a subject I don't believe it's talked about. I don't even believe it's explained. This is a subject I see leadership that has been in leadership for decades and decades, and they don't still understand it. I see this something that's not taught as people walk through the church. This is not a concept that is shared often, but it's possibly the top three to me most important things I've ever learned in my life. And the subject of today is the subject of Sabbath, the subject of rest. And the first time I ever heard of this concept, there's two times this concept of Sabbath entered into my life. And I'm going to get into the points that we're going to cover. And if you follow along in your Bible normally with Declare Victory in the Mornings, we're going to be all over the place. We're literally going to be everywhere from Genesis to the end of the New Testament, just all over the place. We're going to be everywhere. But for me, the introductions into Sabbath were very, very unique times in my life. Very, very difficult times in some senses, but I look back in retrospect, and I really am almost seeing the importance and value on it, and be based off of the times that I heard about this in my life. So the very first time I heard this concept of rest, I remember it actually scaring me. I actually had a time where I felt a little bit scared. I first heard the verse when I was a child, and it was Genesis 2, chapter 2, verse 2. And this is the creation narrative, and by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. That verse scared me as a child. And I know you might be thinking, there's so many verses that could scare you as a child. You know, you got to think I'm probably 7 years old, and I started reading the Bible for the first time. I got baptized, and I gave my life to the Lord, and we grew up Catholic. I had already gone through catechism and confirmation and all this, and so I was really familiar with the Bible by about a young age, and prayer and all these concepts, life and death, and you know, you learn a lot about baptism and all these different things, and you're exploring a lot of deep concepts even as a kid, and this verse scared me. And I know you're probably wondering, how could that verse scare you? But I was raised in an environment that was so dead set on working multiple jobs, working all day. I heard the way family members were talked about if they didn't have a job. I heard the way people are talked about if they couldn't get a job and they were just like freeloaders or something, you know? And I kind of was shocked when I read that verse. Because in my life, my perspective, we worked for everything we had to get. We just had to work. And yesterday I talked a little bit about our testimony. And I mentioned how there was days where I didn't see my mom until she was climbing into bed. And I was a child and I just wanted to see my mom some days, but she was supporting as a single mother in a lot of moments. And she worked a lot. She worked multiple jobs, just working all day. I grew up in there. I grew up seeing that. So growing up and seeing that and seeing strength in work and seeing strength in busyness and, oh, just make yourself busy. Just clean something, do something. Don't be sitting around. Then to go and read the Bible and to see that by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. That scared me because I thought to myself, why does God need to rest? Because I associated rest with weakness. And we're going to dissect that a little bit. We're going to talk about that. We're going to explore that and areas in our life currently that we're not doing that. We're not falling into that rhythm of work and rest. And it's actually a major reason why a lot of the issues that we're running into in life are even there. A lot of times it's because of rest. A lot of times because we're not resting. So I'm going to teach you and kind of go through how to identify some of those and how to stop it before it's too late. And we're going to talk about that in point two. And in point three, we're going to talk about what are the benefits of it, benefits that come from it, because a lot of the things we're praying and hoping for can only be found in a place of rest. And it's a very counterintuitive concept. It doesn't seem like it would be the answer to a lot of problems, which is why I also didn't value it for a long time. But the second time in my life that I was introduced to this concept is when I rededicated my life. Now, a lot of years later, my teens go by and my early 20s and I travel, the world, go to the military, go to the Air Force, and I come back and rededicate my life to the Lord in my early 20s. And then this concept comes back. And the very first thing that happened when I rededicated my life is the Lord took me to all of the Hebraic roots of my Christianity, of my walk with the Lord. And he really reconciled these two worlds together, this Jewish culture and Hebraic culture into being a modern day Christian. And understanding where you come from to understand where you're going. And I built my theology, I built my walk with God around a lot of these precepts and a lot of these concepts that were found in the Hebrew Bible. And one of the first things the Lord led me to during this time was the concept of Sabbath. So for me, it was very interesting because I kept wondering, well, why does this pop up every time I get started? Why does this pop up? And I got really into it. I bought like one of those prayer shawls. It's called a tallit, I believe. I might be pronouncing that wrong. If anybody's up on there, they're Hebrew, I might be pronouncing that wrong, but it's the prayer shawl. It's one of the prayer shawls you see a lot of clergy with the Jewish clergy and leadership and just a lot of folks will have prayer shawls. I bought that. I was really researching into a lot of that for a lot of years. So the points that we're going to be going over today is point one, we're going to be talking about cadence and rhythm. Point two, we're going to be talking about why does our rest get out of balance? And how, what does that look like? How do we prevent it from getting out of balance? And the closing point today is going to be creating Sabbath and what to expect from honoring Sabbath within your life. And I'm not, none of what we're saying today is that I'm pressing you to engage in some ritualistic behavior where you're just focusing on hitting ritual and hitting like a protocol and and not necessarily focusing on what the point behind that is. That's, I don't want you to miss the concept of this today. The heart behind today is very personal. It's very intentional. And this is on your own time. There's going to be a lot of weeks where you probably just don't get to this. There's going to be a lot of days where you might not get to it. I personally try to do this daily. I personally try to find Sabbath in a number of different ways. So we're going to talk about what it kind of looks like. And the very first verse that we're going to be reading out of is in Ecclesiastes. And this is in chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, I believe. Yeah, 8. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And to me, growing up reading this verse, it had an entirely different meaning. I was like, okay, this is probably one of the verses one of the parents threw in so they can explain to their kids why they need to get up from the PlayStation and do some chores. And, you know, I'm thinking in my head, you know, what does that really even mean? Why does that even need to be included in the Bible? But this is why this is so important. I think this is extremely important. I think this is extremely, extremely important, especially to the concept of Sabbath. This is important because Sabbath is about building that rhythm of creating 6 days and resting, because the resting is not only completion, but resting is where we find the value and perspective of God as it pertains to what he has called us to build and to cultivate in our world around us. God is a God of order, and he desires for us to rest, to renew us for the work that is set out for us. And this is crucial because in our rest, we find, we illuminate this work not only, but we see what we're meant to be doing and what we're not meant to be doing. There's a lot of definition in our life that's missing when we're so busy that is very present when we're able to step back and we're able to rest in God and allow him to illuminate what really is necessary, what is duty and obligation, and what is love, what is being done out of love, what is being done out of our calling, what is being done out of what God's called us to do, and what are we doing because we feel we need to be doing it, what areas are we pursuing because we need to be doing that and we need to hit some status quo, and what are we doing working smarter, not harder, because this is truly where God has called us. This is truly the way we're supposed to be doing it, as opposed to, you know, beating our head against something that's just not working, that's just not happening. And this goes back to what I was talking when I was making the introduction to this concept, is that a lot of us don't understand how rest can be beneficial to a lot of our scenarios, because a lot of us are too busy trying to work towards the solution that we need to really rest towards the solution. And that's a crucial concept, because it doesn't make sense to this day and age. It does not make sense to 2019, grind, let's hustle, wake up, let's get this bread, like that mentality of let's do, like we got to constantly be doing something. Like I said, I grew up with this mentality that if you're not working, then what are you doing? Like, what are you accomplishing? If you're not working, if you're not getting money, if you're not building into a 401k, you don't have benefits, what does your life mean if you don't have work? What are you even doing? I grew up in that. I grew up, that was so burned into my head. I started working when I was 15. I look back and I wonder, why did I even start working at 15? What was the point of that? And you get into this cycle right away, and I immediately jumped into this cycle of, okay, well, I mean, I'm 15. I got to get a job. And my interview for KFC was the biggest event in my life at 15. It was just the biggest event of my life. I got a haircut. I was rehearsing. I was talking to people that had been in the fast food industry. I was like 15, about to make, you know, I think minimum wage back then was like $6. an hour. I was about to start making $6 an hour. I didn't even understand money like that at the time. I was like, what am I going to do? I started making a list of all the things I wanted to buy. I was so excited. I was ready to work as many hours as they needed to, as they needed me to. I was going to get my KFC tattoo. I was sold out for KFC at the time. I got the interview. And also, if you want to take a moment to look down at your phone and just mute your line, make sure your line's mute. We're getting a lot of background noise right now. Thank you. I appreciate that. And this was a huge thing for me because this concept, you know, my mom and dad worked, they worked so much. And you know what? I justified it. I needed car insurance. Once I got car insurance, then I was going to need a phone and I needed to pay my phone. And then once I was paying my car insurance and I was, you know, driving around, I was going to need gas. And what am I going to be driving to? I'm going to be driving my friends around. I'm going to be driving to go eat. So I'm going to need money to be going out. So I was like, you know what? To me, in my mind, I was like, I think it's just, I should just probably work like 80 hours a week at KFC. I was just dead set on that. I was already like, all right, you know, here I come, you know, workforce. I'm ready to do this. And I was like hit with reality. Like that was a hard job. Like I was on my feet for like 8 hours and this was after school. And I told them I could work whenever. And I was already hitting like the most I should be working while going to school. I was like a freshman at the time. And it felt good though. I felt like I was driving to a job in my mom's car, and I had to wait for her to get home to start a lot of my shifts anyways. And I was always on closing shifts and cleaning the grill and cleaning the everything and mopping and all that. But it felt so right to be driving to a job, to be going in, putting in all my hard work, contributing to society, feeding the hungry people of Los Banos, California, you know, little tiny town of 30,000 people. And it felt right to be working. It felt right to be grinding, to be getting paper, you know, to be getting that paycheck. And I got sucked into that mentality. And then I needed another job lined up. And then we moved back to San Jose. And I needed to transfer, and I transferred to a KFC in San Jose. And then I'm here. I am, you know, practically I'm 29 now. I'm almost 30 now, and I've never not worked. I don't even think I've ever even taken a vacation or anything from any job anywhere. Definitely not KFC because they really needed me. I was a hero back there. And you know, the truth of it is that we live in that in so many arenas in our life. We experience that pressure to have results in our marriage. You need, once you're of age, you need to go start dating. You need to go date, do your thing. You need to get married. If you don't get married, what are you even doing? What's wrong with you? How many times did we think there was something wrong with us because we couldn't find a partner? How many times did we think that there was something wrong with us because we never got a promotion? How many times did we think there was something wrong with us because we didn't get anybody saved like everybody else that was leading like 200 people to the Lord, and then I can't find one person that's willing to repeat this prayer with me? We begin to put all these standards and structures and rules and I gotta hit that quota. I gotta hit these numbers. I gotta sit on the computer for 8 hours. It's something I still battle with. There's times where my wife needs me, and I'm answering emails on the computer at 10 o'clock at night. There's time where my family needs me, and I'm not answering my phone because I really need to get this project done by this deadline. You know, and there's a matter of responsibility and hitting your responsibilities and being responsible and doing due diligence and doing what God has placed a box. Our people of authority in our life, they trust us with certain things. God has trusted us with certain things. It's very important for that. But it's also important to have cadence and rhythm. And any musician, anybody who's ever been a part of a dance team, anybody who's ever been a part of a choir, especially a worship team, you understand the importance of being in sync. You understand the importance of the break. You understand the importance of, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. It's not 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. I mean, it's not always jazz. You know, sometimes there's got to be that structure. There's got to be that cadence and rhythm. There has to be a balance. God demonstrates this right off the bat. He kicks open the door, boom, creates everything. Right off the bat, he rests. He's doing this to set an example. The reason why we are blessed to understand the mechanics of what God did to create the world we see around us, in whatever way science and the church reconcile or believe that has done, the fact of the matter is we have a narrative. The narrative exists as an example because everything God says or does is an example for us to reflect. Whether we want to argue about whatever this happened, you know, the day really was, you know, 1.5 billion, each day was a billion years, you know, like whatever it was, semantics aside, the point of this is to understand that God is displaying a standard that we are trusted to follow suit with. When we work, we're expected to rest. And that's an insult to not follow within the same heritage of that, because we're trusted to be God's face to this world around us. And Christians are just as guilty as everybody else as doing it. We're just as guilty ministering to somebody and bringing somebody into church, not because we care and have empathy about what they're hurting and what they're going through, but because it's going to look great to our leadership that we brought somebody into our life group. It's going to look great that we brought somebody, hey, check out this lost person that I brought in. It's good that what I did, right? Like, I got them saved and they're going to heaven now. That is absolutely amazing. But there's a certain heart that has to be cultivated for there to be long-lasting results. Because you can get somebody to repeat a prayer with you. I can probably go to any store right now. I could walk across the street and I can get anybody to repeat anything. I could probably get 5 people to repeat a prayer with me, because what do they have to lose? But can I get somebody to live a life after me? Can I get somebody to lay down their life and live with love and get real results because I sacrificed? Because I understood the value of balance. And that's what we find out, is that this balance is always going to be under attack, because there's lasting results that come from us emulating what God has displayed already for us. And it's a very, very difficult thing to do. It's very discouraging sometimes, because a lot of us satisfy our insecurities, and my hand's raised right now because I'm the poster child for this, but a lot of us satisfy our insecurities through our Christianity. Because if we could just be a good enough Christian, we can get the love from God that we didn't get from our earthly dad. And if I could just impress my pastor, if I can just bring in 20 people, if I can just step on everybody around me at the prayer meeting, you know what? God's going to love me so much, it's going to satisfy every hurt and pain that I had. Well, you know what? God's love can do things like that, but we can't manipulate that. But we can't utilize what God has called us to do to serve a duty. We can't say yes to 50 million people because we have insecurity, because no one ever said good job as a kid, because no one ever took the time to throw a ball with us as a child. We can't now in this day and age drive ourselves into the dirt to satisfy and achieve something that nobody ever said we needed to achieve. And it's hard because we use these measuring sticks in society as the successful person. And it's like, you know what? I don't want to use that. You know what? If I were to become an actor or a singer or what, you know, whatever, and get millions of dollars and all these things, the world would look at me and be like, you know what? That guy really made something in his life. You know him? He really did something. Go out and, you know, I've done a lot of things and got received accolades and compliments for different things. But you know what? None of it has ever placed value on my life. None of it has ever defined me as man. You know what defines me as a man? The cross defines me as a man. Whatever the cross directs me to as my GPS, as my compass, that's success. And the truth of it is some of us have the capacity and have the calling to spread God's love to 2,000 people in our life, probably even more throughout the years. And that's the anointing that you were given. That's the portion that was given to you. And that is your success in your life. And some people, to be honest with you, I genuinely, honestly believe some people were given the portion and the anointing for 2 people in their entire life. And they were called to be the world's best shift supervisor and start a family and just do their thing and enjoy the life that God died for them to receive and lead 2 people to the Lord. And that is success by what God defines for their life. Okay, but some of us get in that seat and we start to define what happens. And the reason why this gets out of balance is because one thing I learned at KFC is this.
that job might have been tough. I might have actually hated it. And I definitely don't ever need to eat KFC again for the rest of my life because I ate it like 3 times a day for probably 4 or 5 years. But this one thing it taught me, though, other than it's not healthy to eat that much, like greasy, like we had an A&W and burgers and all that. I'm not going to get into that, but it was just, it was bad. Like, it was really bad. That's the first thing I learned is don't eat fast food all day for 5 years. It's not good. But you know what? I learned that everybody has a place. And everybody had to conform to what their role was as it pertained to our team, right? And I worked in the middle. I used to do, I used to help with drive-thru. I used to help pack orders. And I would like just make sure everything was in the center was good. Like if anybody needed like a wrap or something, or like I said, we were connected with an A&W. So I made all of the A&W menu, like the burgers and everything. And that was like my zone. I was the A&W guy. I had like the A&W split on my badge and like, you know, like don't mess with me because I'm an A&W guy. And like, I was, that was my thing, right? I knew what I needed to do. I wasn't a cashier, not until later, but I wasn't a cashier at the time. And I didn't drop the chicken in the back. I wasn't strong enough. Those things were heavy. And I wasn't like, it was always a little old Mexican lady. Every single KFC I ever worked at or went to, always a little old Mexican lady in the middle that was playing like cumbia and ranchero music. And she was like, just always talking in Spanish, talking crap about everybody in Spanish, you know, like always in the middle. We all had our place. We all and it functioned perfectly. When rush hour would hit, you know, little Maddie working in the middle, she had it going. She had every biscuits coming up. It was always Hector in the back. He always worked shifts with me. He was always dropping chicken. Perfect timing. We're getting hit. Rush hour, dinner hour. He was dropping chicken. 18 minutes, 23 for extra crispy. He was ready. And then this girl that I went to my high school, she graduated a couple of years. She was working drive-thru and she was just perfect with orders. She never missed anything. She was on it. And we had our manager always in the office counting. All these, we worked as a team because we knew what was expected of us. Now, if I had tried to do all of the center stuff and I tried to do Hector's job and I tried to do Maddie's job and I tried to answer all the, I would have literally probably died. And I know it doesn't sound like it's the craziest job in the world, but when you're 15 and you have pressure on you and you have people yelling at you and you're like, man, it's kind of hurts getting yelled at. You need to function properly. You need to know what your role is. It's very crucial. It's very important. And the same thing with the band. You know, you if you're the bassist, you're going to hold it down on bass. You're not going to go back and forth between the drum set. You got to hold it down. And this is why we get out of balance sometimes. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Truthfully, I've prayed for people, you know, in point two, you know, why does our rest get out of balance? This is going to go a little bit. Time-wise, I apologize in advance. I might go on a little bit longer, but I'm going to try to wrap it up soon. But, you know, our rest gets out of balance a lot of times because the enemy, as an attack, doesn't want us to receive what God has for us. And God sometimes will allow this to get out of balance because he uses it to get our attention as to the importance of it. Because I've had prayer requests for people in the hospital, and the second I get a prayer request, no matter what that prayer request is, the very first thing I always do in a prayer request is I always immediately ask God, what's going on with that situation? And I'll let him explain to me. I don't let the person explain to me what their needs are via prayer. They'll tell me, but I don't pray until I hear what God says about the situation. And there's times where I'll get a prayer request for somebody in the hospital, and I know that that's a very serious situation. It's a very serious scenario. I hate that. I hate being on the other end of that. But there's been times where I will hear that somebody's in the hospital and I'll pray and I'll ask God, why are they in the hospital? What happened? What's going on? Is there a spiritual element? Is there something spiritual that's causing the ailment? Is it just an ailment? What's going on? And there's been, I can't tell you how many times I've heard God tell me, no, there's nothing spiritual. It's not like some kind of issue, there's nothing going on there. I needed them to rest. And I'm like, okay, so how do you want me to pray for them? And I'll feel God tell me, I just pray for them to receive the rest that I've had for them for years in this hospital bed so I can let them go finally. And I'm like, okay, that is a crazy concept that sometimes God needs to allow us to be sick so we can finally slow down, because if not, we're going to kill ourselves. And that happens all the time. And we find ourselves at 40, 50, 60 in bad health. And we're wondering, like, man, I ate healthy. Like, I was always on the go. I was always active, all this stuff. Yeah, but you never stopped. You never slowed down. And now it caught, all those years of not resting caught up with you now. And even further than that, I'm in a kind of mesh together point three as I begin to close right now. You know, the verse that I take from this is Luke 10:38-42, whereas Jesus and his disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. That's Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. She was focused on the peace that comes from rest in God. The peace and focus that comes from stepping away to re-energize, to have that rebirth with the Lord weekly. Like I said, cadence and rhythm. We see this all throughout nature. We see this in music. We see this all over the place. And the same thing, I was just talking to my mom recently about this. I was like, you know, you drive your car to work and you come home and you turn the car off. You park in the parking lot or your parking lot. We have an apartment complex, so we have a parking lot, or if you have a driveway, but you turn your car off. Imagine for 40 years straight, you leave your car running in the driveway. Imagine that your car never gets turned off. For 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, you drive it all day, you sit in traffic on the 80 and the 101 and the 680 and everywhere, and then you bring it back. And you don't turn it off, though. You just leave it on in the driveway with the lights on and the music. And, you know, then you go inside and you do your thing, and then you come back and the car's still on. You just get in and drive it again and again. That's crazy. I'm not the most prophetic person in the world, but I think it's safe to say none of us do that with our cars because it's just not practical. And if I asked you, why would you do that? I'd be like, well, you're going to run out of gas or something's, your car is going to like break down. Some of us have cars that we can't even do that. We're lucky if it turns on once. You know, you wouldn't do that with your car. Why do you continue to do that every day with your soul? Why do you continue to do that with your body every day? Why do you continue to do that with your mind every day? And, you know, we live in a period where we serve people, but we don't minister to people. We live in a very success and results-oriented time where, you know, we don't put as much focus into our body and our rest as we do our results or achievements. So it's understandable why we need to do that. I understand why we do that, you know. And, you know, we find ourselves in this place of, like I said, where, you know, we're trying to satisfy all this. So I got to do it. I got to leave the car on. I got to do it. This person needs me right now. This situation needs me. But you know what? A lot of times a prayer request in our life is not being answered because we're not stepping back for God to complete the work. We're not resting in the Lord. What we're doing is we're letting ourselves continue to work at this situation 24/7. And then we're like, man, it'd be great if God could just answer that prayer. And God's saying, it'd be great if you could just let me answer it. It'd be great if you could just step back and rest in me, and I will go before you. And that's what I'm going to close out with right now. Like I said, I'm sorry we went on a little bit later today, but in Exodus 33:14, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest, because Moses knew that if they continued to try to work at this all day, every day, they weren't going to make it. They needed God to be with them. They needed to know that God was with them. And the only way that they were going to get rest and they were going to accomplish what was promised to them. Okay, this is where it starts to culminate. I hope this is starting to piece together right now in point three as I close out. The way you accomplish that promised land, the way you accomplish the task at hand, is you rest in God, because it's renewal that gives you fresh direction and perspective, because you let God go before you. And that's where blessing comes. I used to wonder, why do all the people that are the most successful that I know, they don't work as hard as everybody else because they rest? And I did not understand that concept. It's truly funny to me. That is like truly genuinely ironic to me. I'm like, they always take that weekend off. They always take that day off and they spend it with their family. How does that happen? because in some translations, that verse I just read, rest is victory and rest is peace. They're used interchangeably in a lot of different translations. There's blessing in the Sabbath because the Sabbath was meant for man, not man for Sabbath. Not us for the world, not us for ritual, not us for what the world says, not us for what the world's perspective is, but what God has carved out and the balance and the rhythm of our life for us as a blessing. And the blessing and success that you're looking for in working can only be found in rest. And it's about this alignment of perspective and focus. When we put God first, he adds to us. He goes before us. And we just don't understand that. So we kind of ran out of time today. I wish I could have elaborated more, and I could still do so in the, you know, we have Love, Life, and Victory, but I really want to get to prayer and corporate worship and praise. And I just want to thank you guys for sticking around. I know that was a little bit long, but I'm going to now pass the call to Brother Jeff. Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the power of prayer, Lord God. Lord God, we believe, Lord God, that we will receive when we pray, Lord God. And we want to say thank you in advance, Lord God, for all of the prayer requests, Lord God, that were spoken this morning, Lord God. You've heard those prayer requests, Lord God. And we believe, Lord God, that you have already dispatched your angels, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, in the answering of those prayers, Lord God. Every person, Lord God, that put their request in this morning, we thank you. Thank you for the answering of those prayers, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. You are our comforter, Lord God. You are our provider, Lord God. You are, the answer to all our prayers, Lord God. Lord God, I thank you for young Moses this morning, Lord God, ministering to us on, Lord, on balance, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. Lord God, as he was sharing his declaration, I was repenting, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. We must, become angry. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. With the thing, with this Western culture, Lord God. That drives us, Lord God, to work, and work, Lord God, for that White House on the hill and that picket fence, Lord God. We've been tricked, Lord God. We've been bamboozled, Lord God. But, Lord God, we say thank you for your word, when that it tells us that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord over the Sabbath. Lord God, thank you for your word, when that it tells us that if a man don't work, he don't eat. But we must have balance in our lives today, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord God. The declaration is right on time. It fit right on in, Lord, with us going deeper, Lord God, being stretched wider, Lord God. Lord God, we surrender to you, Lord God. Yes, Lord, we confess, Lord God. We confess, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, I repent, Lord God. I must become angry, Lord God, with this Western society, Lord God, that drives me, Lord God, for money, property, and prestige, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God, to where that I work myself to death. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah, Lord God. Money no longer. Money no longer shall drive me out of balance. Today, Lord God, from this day forward, Lord God, I shall practice balance in my life today. From this day forward, Lord God, I shall honor you, Lord God. I know that you are, hallelujah, our Lord over the Sabbath, but I shall honor you, Lord God, and take a day of rest, Lord God. Whether I receive that White House on the hill and with a white picket fence or not, I shall rest in you, Lord God. My desire, Lord God, is for your will to be done in my life, not for Jeff to run his own life. Lord God, I must submit unto you. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you for reminding me, Lord God. Thank you for reminding us, Lord God, all that we have to be grateful for, Lord God. Lord God, we are grateful for the breath of life, Lord God, that flows through our lungs today, this morning, Lord God, giving us one more opportunity, Lord God, to love you back, to honor you, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. Wonderful declaration this morning, Lord God. I kneel down at the altar, Lord God, and I repent. Help us today, Lord God. Help us today to surrender our will and our lives over to you, Lord God, and not allow this world, Lord God, to drive us out of balance. We must find rest today, Lord God, so that we may better do thy will, Lord God. That's what's, oh, hallelujah. Jesus, hallelujah. So much to be grateful for, Lord God. Lord God, we continue to lift up the children to you, Lord God, and say thank you for covering our children, Lord God. Protect their minds, Lord God. They are up against so much in this wicked world, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. Prepare us, Lord God, to minister to our children, Lord God. Allow us, Lord God, to live and to lead holy and sanctified lives, Lord God, so that they may see Christ in us, Lord God. Help us to be that example for them, Lord God. Sometimes, Lord God, they can't hear us when we speak, Lord God, but if they see us, protect them, Lord God, from all the wickedness that's going on around them, that's trying to influence their young minds, Lord God. Lord God, I lift up our communities to you this morning, Lord God. Our cities, Lord God. Cover our cities, Lord God. Cover our workplace, Lord God. Oh, yes, Lord. We are that beacon of light in the workplace, Lord God. We are that salt, Lord God, in our neighborhoods, Lord God. We are that. Help us, Lord God, that they may see Christ in us, Lord God. Oh, so much to be grateful for. Lord God, I lift up every declarer that ministers to us here on this line. They take the time out, Lord God, to hear from you, Lord God, and they feed it back to us, Lord God. Refill them, Lord God. Cover them, Lord God. Strengthen them and build them up, Lord God. Lord God, I continue to pray for our pastors, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. And their wives, Lord God. As they share over the pulpits, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. Strengthen them, Lord God. Bless them, Lord God. Cover them, Lord God, while they pray for their congregations, Lord God. Lord God, I continue to lift up the United States of America. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. This nation, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Lord God, we know, Lord God, that we have a place called heaven that we'll be living in, Lord God. But while we're here on earth, Lord God, this nation, the United States of America, Lord God, help us to repent, Lord God, and cry out to you, Lord God. Help us to turn, Lord God, from our wicked and sinful ways, Lord God. Help us. No matter what it looks like, Lord God, we trust and believe that you are in control. Thank you, Lord God. So much to be grateful for. Lord God, I won't prolong my prayer this morning, Lord God, but I want to ask every victor to join in with me this morning. And let's lift up the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Take our phones off of mute.
Hallelujah.
And pray.
Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name, Jesus.
We bless you, Lord. We bless
you,
Lord. Rain down,
comfort
the heaven and rain down,
Spirit, and I want to thank our whole team today. I want to thank Andrew, my man Drew, for doing that, leading us with just such peace and joy this morning, and Jeff, and thanks to the whole team, scheduling team, our top leadership, just everybody. Thank you, everybody. And thank you to everyone that called in today. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for taking time out of your morning to just spend with us as we honor God and as we're just here for each other. You know, the biggest thing is that this is a people ministry. This is to turn the hearts back to God. This is to turn our situations back to God. And I hope we can accomplish that. And I know we have so many talented, I don't even have time to name everybody, but we have so many talented, gifted speakers on this call. So many people that I look up to. So many people that I'm just like, dang, like I just listen to them speak and give their declarations. I'm just like, wow, what can you even say after that? You know? And this is a place where you will find a tribe here. You will find a family here. Declare Victory, first and foremost, is absolutely a family. So I want to thank you for joining. I want to highly encourage you to invite a friend next time. Also, before we go into this next portion of the call, I would ask that you please look down at your phone and make sure that you're on mute. I think we're getting some feedback right now. So if you could just check your line and make sure that you're on mute right now, because we do have feedback right now. So I thank you for that. And I appreciate everybody checking to make sure that they're on mute. So thank you for that. I'm going to do a real quick recap of what we talked about today. Today, the heart behind today's message was Sabbath and finding our rest. And the very first point we talked about is cadence and rhythm. Everything in nature, everything in the world around us, there's a balance. There's a song. There's a natural song that just develops. And this natural rhythm and this natural cadence to life around us applies to our spirit as well. And this is done with the things and the work and the ministry and the family and the traffic and the job and everything. And then it's renewed and refreshed. The rebirth is the rest. And whether that's a Friday night, whether that's a Sabbath walk, you know, I'll take a Sabbath walk sometimes where I take, you know, an hour. I'll go, I have a canal behind my apartment, and I'll just walk around the canal and I'll just walk with God. Sometimes I don't say anything, but it's just me tuning out from the world. It's me turning off. It's me not accomplishing anything, not in the physical, not by the world's standards. Sometimes I'm going to be completely honest with you. I'll take a Sabbath nap. I know that sounds crazy. I know some people right now could go for a Sabbath nap. 7 o'clock, might be tired still. Where I just rest. It could be after work. It could be before a meeting or something. Just a Sabbath rest. I'll just lay down and just with no, the point of it is to not accomplish anything. It's to enjoy what you work so hard for. You find a rhythm, you find a balance in doing that. Because a lot of us work so hard for the home that we pay rent for every month, but we're never even in it. You know, a lot of us work so hard for our kids and we never spend time with them. You know, I realize I work so hard to provide this home for my wife and our baby and get all these things, and I never spend time with her. I'm so busy working. Okay, babe, I'll be there. Yeah. You know what? I'll just catch you tomorrow after you get off work. And she's in bed already. I'm still working. And I'm just like, I'll catch up later. I'll go to sleep later, you know. But why am I doing everything that I'm doing? I'm doing it to provide a home for my wife, to provide a better life for us, for our child. You know, we have to enjoy the things we work so hard for. We need to step back, because a lot of times our relationships are only in the place and the condition that they are because we don't take the time to just enjoy them. We're always trying to fix a relationship. Sometimes we need to just enjoy the relationship. You know, we find a balance in that. The second point we talked about was why does our rest get out of balance? And I mentioned there's times where sometimes God will allow us to get a little banged up. So we have to step back and we have to rest. Don't get forced into rest. That's the best thing I can tell you. Don't get forced into rest, because by that point it's too late already. You got to restart. Develop a habit of resting. Develop a habit of spoil yourself.
you spend so much on everything. Go buy yourself that thing that you've been wanting. I'm not talking about being materialistic for the sake of having things. I'm talking about taking what God has blessed you with and using it to do something that allows you. Don't be so pious that you don't get to enjoy the life that Jesus died for you to enjoy. You know, like everybody's like, no, I got to suffer, man. I got to like, you know, Jesus died on the cross. I got to just suffer. It's like Jesus died so you can have an abundant life. Abundance is increase. Abundance is surplus. Abundance is enjoyment. Abundance is peace. Whatever brings you those things, go honor that, because that honors God. You're honoring God by enjoying life. Don't like, oh, no, I got to be praying 24 hours a day. I got to do this. It's like, okay, calm down. The church is gonna exist tomorrow. It doesn't need, you know, your 24-hour, you know, thing. You know, if that's what you do, that's what you do. I don't mean any offense in that, but the weight of our world is not on our shoulders. It's just loved through our life. And that life has to be protected. It has to be cultivated. And rest is how we do that. The third point that we closed with is creating Sabbath, carving out a time to go on your prayer walk, go on your Sabbath walk, take that Sabbath rest, read a book, cook a Sabbath meal where you just cook with your loved ones and your family, and you just not cooking to like, oh, we need to cook the real, there's 30-minute dinners, you know? There's like the 30-minute dinners, and then there's like the Sunday dinners, you know, where you're like, you're cutting everything, you're taking your time, you know, you're doing all the braising things and, you know, things in the, if you have a crock pot, the heart behind yesterday's message was the crock pot, you know, throwing things in the crock pot, you know, just you're taking your time to enjoy what God has brought you, you know, that's where the blessings lie. And everybody I know, I'm going to tell you the truth of this. I believe this 100%. Everybody I know that is truly like financially blessed, is truly blessed in their work field and their family and their love life, they all take Sabbath. The one thing behind everybody I know that's successful is they take Sabbath. They honor the Sabbath. And like I said, it's not to create some ritual in your life where you're like, you know what? Don't call me on Friday at 5 p.m. because that's like my Sabbath night. That is too far. That's like way too religious. Like that's going way too far. Integrate and inject your Sabbath into even sharing with somebody else. That's also the best thing. Invite somebody over that might not have groceries. Invite them over for a meal and give them the leftovers. Give them some of what you have in the freezer. You're not going to cook all the fish and the chicken and the beef in there. Like you're not going to cook all of it. You know, nobody ever cooks everything that they get. Give away some of that Sabbath. We make the world a better place by stepping back, not by pouring into it 24/7. There has to be rhythm. There has to be balance. So I want to thank everybody for listening today. We're about to go into the love, life, and victory portion. This is my personal favorite. I love hearing from everybody. Everybody's experience, and there's so much wisdom. There's such an anointing of wisdom over Declare Victory. I encourage you to listen, continue to listen in for this portion as I now open the call. If you have something to share, I encourage you to share.
God bless you, brother. This is Andrew, and I want to thank
Andrew?
I want to thank you for the lesson this morning. I wasn't able to be on the call yesterday, but I listened to the playback, and I just appreciate your teaching because you break down these complex truths with such ease and usability that it's really a blessing to hear from you. And I don't take that lightly, but you made me think about a lot of things yesterday, and even the declaration this morning. That the main thought that I got, and it's still bouncing around in my head, is I can't let the noise of the present drown out the eternity of His promise, because He commanded me to study to show myself approved unto Him, not anybody else, not so I could like be really cool and quote verses here and there, but I need to, you know, be able to sit down with my boss, with my manager, and let him know that I'm meeting expectations. I'm doing what he wants me to do. But he's got promises all through the book that are eternal. They're not going anywhere. They're backed up because of his power, and he swore by his own name because there was no name greater than his to swear by. Okay, so they're not going anywhere. And he told me that I have to rest. He told me that I have to work while it is day, because night comes when no man can work. Well, you can rest during the work. I can commune with him when I'm not working. I can minister to others, you know, while I'm resting. You know, not everything is like pulling an ox cart, but I have to obey him, and I have to do it just like with the crockpot analogy, in the time that it's going to take, because my steps are ordered by him. I can't do it faster. I can't accomplish it slower because he has set the time frame. All I have to do is just slip into it and trust him that no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, you know, everything is fine. So I have to remind myself that what he says is, and all I have to do is just obey it. But I got to obey it all. So I got to work what he says, get up and do it. And I have to sit down when he says I need to apply self-care, because my body is the temple of his spirit. And if I just leave the doors open and let all sorts of trash and like weather come in, it deteriorates the building, and the building falls unless it's maintained. So I have to do the maintenance on that on a daily basis. So thanks for that lesson, brother. I'm going back on mute.
Thank you for the encouragement, Andrew. And I think that's a really great way to put it, because it's very hard to see the eternal ramifications of a lot of the work we do, I think, throughout our life and on this earth. And that is the heaven-minded perspective, I feel that so many of us work towards, and we have this kind of like subconscious aim to do that. So yeah, I appreciate the encouragement. Thank you for that perspective on that too, because I think that's crucial to it. I think that's actually the foundation that you build on top of, is understanding that this is a heavenly, eternal thing that is being filtered through our life, whether it's work, what we accomplish, even the motivation behind it is eternal. That's a very powerful place to operate from. That's very, very powerful. So thank you for that, Andrew, as always, you know, and it's such a compliment, you know, coming from you. It's such a, you know, that means a lot. Thank you very much. Does anybody else have anything else they would like to add on to today's discussion?
Hi, Moses. This is Bernice. Good morning, Hello. Everybody. Thank you for the declaration today. What a powerful, powerful thing to have us to understand, especially the Sabbath. Back in January, I began to honor it, and because I had been busy, 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 7 days a week, always busy, no time to really sit down. I go to Bible study, go to church, and then I would only depend upon what the man or woman of God were preaching or teaching, and never really had an opportunity to sit down and rightfully divide the word of truth. So I decided that I needed to have a day of rest. So I began to delve into the Bible, into the Word, to see what it talked about. And so on the day that I sat, on the day that I began to study about the Sabbath, I was in the Word, and it said, when I was reading, it said on the 10th day of the first month. And that was, and I looked at the 10th day and the first month, January 10th, it fell on a Thursday. When I looked at my calendar, showed me that I could make myself available on every Thursday for the rest of the year. So I incorporated that day into to make that my Sabbath. And so what I did was I began to look at, I was able to not only rest, but I was able to see that some of the things that we had been taught were inaccurate. And that we were able, that I was able to look at the Word of God and say, wow, that might not be totally correct, but then it forces you, it makes you, you're resting so you can easily hear, you're able to see when you're reading, you're looking, you're researching, and God is speaking. But when we are so, so busy, how can we hear? We have our day, everything that we have to do, take care of the kids, work, cook, clean, make sure our things are taken care of. You said something that was very significant, that most of the people that you know that take the Sabbath, they are successful. It is because God is giving them. They're able to hear, they're able to listen, and they're able to follow the directions of the Holy Spirit. And so even though you're going to find yourself, you're going to find there's going to be a fight when you begin to take it, there'll be that fight. You're going to have things that are going to come up against you, but you have to continue. You have to stay the course. And so what you said, very, very powerful. And so thank you. Thank you for bringing that up and teaching us that that is one of the things that we need to find ourselves doing. God bless.
Yeah, thank you, Brittany. Thank you for sharing that. And you know, I started to realize a lot of that too when I first started learning and researching this. And what happens is that I realized that this is just even at some point I was doing this Sabbath even to get certain things like that. You have to. It's a Sabbath is a practice. It's like a continuous thing. I mean, even weekly like that. I think it's amazing. But I started to realize exactly what you learned and saw too. It's strategy. I can't even describe it. But it's like you're finally slowing down enough for God to speak to you. Because a lot of times when we pray at God. We just toss and throw things at God. But we don't ever listen. Sabbath is a time to sit back and listen, because what I learned is that I would pray for a situation from my understanding, but I was never praying from what God was telling me to pray about the situation until I started having Sabbath and still until I started resting in God. That's when He was able to go before me, because He went before me and told me what to do, when to turn left, when to turn right, when to call this person, when to submit the resume. When to accept that offer, accept that position, accept this and that, is like all the strategy would just be given to me. And that's why for me, whenever I had a big decision to make in life, I never stressed out, because I was like, okay, well, I'll just talk to God. I'll just go on a prayer walk and see what He says about it. And it would never fail. It would always happen exactly as God told me. So I would have this heavenly strategy and insight, and I would walk in answered prayer, because not because I was forcing what I thought should happen onto God and then just like praying it into the dirt, but I would just rest and have peace in what God was saying about a situation and allow Him to minister to me, and I would just walk it out in real life. And that's what I saw, as you were saying too, that's what happened. That's when I had insight. That's when I had direction and all these different things. So yeah, it's crazy how it works that way, because you don't think that would work, you know?
And then one more thing.
Oh yeah.
One more thing is that when you have the time to sit and to listen, you have and you're thinking about what God has said to you, it becomes the days that you have chosen to take the Sabbath. If that decision is deliberate, the things
yeah.
you have to
yeah.
make sure that you're doing it consistently, and it may not be that everybody can do it on the same day as I can, but you have to take a day of rest. It is more important. And the one thing that you'll find is 7 days to do, you can do in 3.
Hey, Moses,
yeah,
before you jump.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, babe.
Yeah, I was just going to ask if everybody could just check their phone real quick because we're getting a lot of movement and background sound. So if you could just take 1 second, if you could just take a look down and make sure you're on mute. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Go ahead and finish that thought, Bernice. We didn't catch the end of what you said.
That when you're the things that you try to do, you've done, it's taken you 7 days to do, you can do it in much less time. You could do it in 4 days. That's what I found.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And real quick, like I said, if we could just all just out of respect for everyone sharing, just please take a look down at your phone and make sure you're on mute. Just that way we can be hearing what God's speaking through everybody and you know, just really honoring everybody, you know, and just take a real quick glance and make sure you're on mute. Thank you for that. Appreciate that. And there's I think we had somebody else after Bernice.
It was just me, Moses. Good morning. This is Dion.
Good morning.
So hey. So yesterday and today, absolutely poignant and relevant. And what I'll say for everyone that's listening, I remember when the Lord began to slow me down and to shift my agenda to His will, and how tough it was for me because I had always been so busy, just moving real fast. And I mentioned that book the other day, and I apologize. I just thought about it right this very second that I didn't share it. I'm going to share it today. But that Emotionally Healthy Spirituality was the first time that the Sabbath day or creating and making and sticking to a Sabbath day was introduced to me. And what I will say, some of the downloads that I get are a direct result of the fact that my days are very slowed down. And at first I thought it was impractical, and I felt as if I was almost borderline bummish. That's, you know, in my mind, because I was so used to moving and hustling and, you know, going from here to there. But what I'll say is some of the greatest downloads, this call and the stability that God has placed under it is a direct result of honoring the Sabbath day, or creating
wow.
a Sabbath day and creating a space of rest. Not only that, but there are times where myself and a couple of friends may go on a trip. And in the instance that we go on a trip, because it's not pressed, it's not planned, it's not something that we have dedicated a whole bunch of running around to do, the downloads that happen collectively, you know, between the group is absolutely amazing. And here recently, the Lord gave me an entire strategy that I may not even see out because it is so much bigger than myself. But at least today, because I make it a point to have a seat, I make it a point to rest, because it's the time that you recharge. It is the thing that helps you to go deeper, because we get so caught up in the busyness of the day. And so I'm excited. Even some of the things that I do on the back end are a direct result and or reflection of me slowing down enough to hear God's voice on such a level that it is Ephesians 3:20. And so, you know, I am excited about the manifestation of implementing slowing myself down, or him forcing me to have a seat. How about that? Let's try that. You don't want him to shut you down, because I got shut down in order to slow down. So that's all. Just wanted to share. Great share.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dan. Thank you for sharing that. And that's so encouraging, because I didn't really realize, but I feel like I went through something similar in my own life, and I didn't really see it for what it was at first. But I think, you know what a lot of it is too, is a lot of us, I know at least a lot of us on the call, were from the Bay Area, and I know that the Bay Area is a very technology savvy, business oriented, self-made, like very like, and there's a lot of business owners. There's a lot of, even a lot of us that have started companies are very self-sustaining, very like self-starter, there's a lot of us like that, and Dion, I know you do a lot of that too, but I think what happens is we think that like it's very easy for us to get caught up in vision sometimes too. And not even necessarily from a place of like, oh, I need to satisfy some, like I need to just be working. But I think sometimes our vision can take over and cause us to be working at 3 or 4 in the morning because we're like, well, I need to make this vision happen. But then we realize that the vision will happen as God opens doors, but that comes from us stepping back and listening to him for strategy on vision and how to implement and how to execute vision and things like that. And I learned that because I was put in that same place where I started to look at my days and I was working for myself and I was just like, okay, well, this is a little bit slower pace than what I'm used to. I'm kind of at home and I work from home. So I was noticing that at home. And then I realized, hold on, this is a blessing. Even if I start working at a tech company or whatever, because I work in music software, but my degree is in software engineering, but I focus in music software and music. But I realized it is a blessing for me to be able to work at this pace, to set my own schedule, to set my own hours, because I have so much time to spend with God. I have so much time to pour into church. I have so much time to pour. I lead a life group. We have so much time to pour into these things because of that. So for me, I had to identify, and I didn't identify it that way. It kind of just happened over time. I didn't identify it at first. And what you talked about with God forcing you down sometimes is it sounds more aggressive, I think, than people would imagine. But I definitely don't. I wouldn't want to see anybody get to that point. And I always try to take a moment to share with loved ones and friends, like, hey, when's the last time you spent some you time? I love that. Like the unplanned trip with the friends, like that is so accurate. That's so powerful. I've seen that in my own life. You know, I think that is just so, so on point. So thank you for sharing that. Thank you for dropping some wisdom as usual. We appreciate that. I appreciate you sharing that. Does anybody else have anything they would like to? Yes.
Yes, this is your auntie. I'm getting ready to take mom to
an
appointment in Oakland, so I'm rushing. But thank you, nephew. Wow. And then Dion, I love her. She knows that. But that taking time, and not just physically, but emotionally as well, will drain you. So, and I have to thank Diane. Yeah. On the call as well, and that you guys know, as a young mother living in Richmond and driving to San Ramon every day, and then kids playing sports. You know, my son would have games all the way in Reading, and no exaggeration. So I'm trying to just be super mom and get him to where he got to go, and then the girls are into activities, and just wearing myself out, and still trying to be active at church, which is in Vallejo. So I'm trying to, had a Friday Night Live for the kids back then. And so I was just running, and every time. And then Diane, thank for her. And then Pamela Carter, who's no longer with us, she pulled my coat and she said, listen, I know you have a heart for people, but you can't be at every funeral. You can't be at every baby. You know, you can't, you're wearing yourself out. But I'm like, no, because I don't mind. I can be in San Ramon and Eureka, the same, just crazy stuff. But when you said, because you don't want him to sit you down. You know what I'm saying? So you have to really press into that rest so that you can hear from him. And then the things and the places that you're supposed to go and things you're supposed to do that are effective will come to life. So I just thank you as always for that. And even now in the season, who would have thought that I'm retired, been for 3 years, and I'm getting ready to take my beautiful 77-year-old mom all the way to Oakland for a doctor's appointment that she probably could do in Pinot, but that's a whole other story. But I'm blessed, you know what I'm saying? And I'm able to do it in my right mind and not drained, because if you're not careful, not just, like I said, the physical aspect of it, but sometimes you got to let people kind of figure their own stuff out too. So you can't always be that ear. You can pray, but you have to learn how to put the oxygen mask on you, and so that you can clearly hear and that you can function. Because again, like you said, you don't want him to have to sit you down. So I love you, Moses, and thank you for just being you, who you are. I love you to life, nephew. I can't wait to really hug you and Nicole and meet that baby, because that's gonna happen. I love you.
Yeah, we're gonna definitely have to have a meetup out there when we go out to visit. And
yeah, especially because you guys are right in Richmond. I could, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm probably right by
you. Yeah, I know. Seriously, yeah, we really are right. We're right off of. I forgot the exit. I think it was. I can never pronounce it. Was it Potrero or something like that?
Potrero. Yeah, you look down a world of peace, but I was right off the hilltop by the across the street from the cemetery.
Yeah, right. Right there. You know, we're always. Man, I'm still trying to remember that pizza place down the street, but. You know, we miss home too, and we're gonna be going back to visit soon, so we'll definitely have to say our hellos. But you know, thank you for that, and thank you for the encouragement too. And I always appreciate the wisdom and encouragement that you always bring in. And yeah, you know, it's just like the big thing is being forced into that. A lot of us don't know that we're being forced into that. It could look like losing a job. It could look like ending up with maybe like something health wise. You know, just it's so funny. I didn't even think about this till right now, but Nicole, and so for those of you who don't know, Nicole's my wife, and last night she went to go get dinner with her dad. And I stayed here at home and I was working, and she came back later on that night, and she was like, yeah, I found out why we haven't heard from my dad for a couple of weeks there. I was like, oh, what happened? She was like, he had a bronchitis or something. And, something like that. She's probably getting ready for work right now. You probably heard me. Maybe I got the diagnosis wrong, but he had bronchitis or something. And the first thing Nicole said right after that, like not even missing a beat, she was like, "Yeah, he needs to be resting. That's what happens because he's just always on the go." And I was like, looked at her. I was like, "Man, she just so like easily understands that concept that like him getting sick had nothing to do with him getting sick." It was like God's way of slowing him down, because like he really is on the go all the time. Like he really is, you know, he's busy. He's providing for his family. You know, he's doing everything understandable, and you know, great man of God. Very. Just in case you're listening, Dave, that's my father-in-law. I'm not trying to start no drama or anything, but yeah, no, I'm covering my bases real quick. But you know, honestly though, it's true for all of us though. You know, sometimes those things have to happen for us to slow down and rest. And that's why you don't want it to get to that point, because it kind of hurts a little bit. And then you look back on your life and it was you just getting lucky falling into this or falling into that where God had to slow you down. It's so much more refreshing when even like Dion was saying, like an unplanned trip. Like sometimes I'll go get lunch with a friend, totally unplanned outside of schedule. And for me, that's a big no-no. I don't do stuff like that normally on the other 5 or 6 days of the week. But sometimes you got to incorporate that into your schedule. Go do something just for you. Do something selfishly like that. The Sabbath was made for man, not the other way around. You know, so yeah, thank you for that. Does anybody else have anything they would like to add to today's discussion?
Moses, good morning. It's Debbie.
Yvonne. Hello, good morning.
It's Ravonda.
Oh, hey, Ravonda. Okay,
and
then
Debbie.
Ravonda, then Juliet, and then Debbie. Okay, sweet.
How Moses and George do this morning. It's funny because it's been the topic of the week about this Sabbath rest. And,
yeah.
You know, and when we realize that Jesus is our Sabbath rest, you know, and not only is he Lord, he is our Sabbath rest. And I've taken the time now on this side of my healing and embracing, you know, every moment to really get up in my daddy's lap. You know, that's what it feels like, you know, that
yeah.
I'm getting up in his lap. And, you know, just the visual, you know, when you see a child, and they, when they get up into their father's arms, there's safety. And, you know, it calms the savage beast, you know, that would want to, mm-hmm. you know, be busy doing things or busy worrying, you know. And not only that, with me, I've mentioned before that I've come away from the TV, you know, a lot. And I'm not one that when I get home, I practice not turning on anything. That wasn't easy to do, because most of my day is spent servicing people and really a lot of talking and a lot of outside stimulation, you know, and everything. And so when I get home, it's not even just about sitting down and getting off my feet, but it's about even my subconscious. When I'm quiet, the thinking, and most of us don't even really know how to do that. You know, because after I get off of other people's stuff, then I'm thinking about my stuff, how I'm going to pay my PG&E and how I'm going to do this and how I'm going to do that. Yeah, and,
exactly.
You know, it is the day. It's the time that, you know what, Father, even though you have provided this for me, and at times when it doesn't even feel like that this is enough, oh God, I believe you. You know, I trust you so that I'm going to rest for this moment. You know, that even this money, this mammoth and the stuff that I have, which at times seems like little, God, you have always provided and stretched. You've done this for me. You've touched my life in many ways. It was not me. And so I get up in his lap. And that's what that's what I do. Because let me tell you, I wouldn't have my mind today, Moses, had I not learned to do that. You know, to calm my breathing down, you know, to even really listen to my own heart, you know, listen to my own heartbeat. I don't even, you know, to know what it's like to breathe deeply and not to go off agitation and, you know, anxiety and all of that kind of stuff, you know. And I realized that in the past, I didn't give him I didn't give him my attention. You know, I didn't allow him to do for him what I needed for him to do for me. And today, I thank God for his rest, you know. And then he says, if we read Hebrews, it's such a love story. It's such a love story if we could read. How he said, now that we know how to do, you know, God is he's a consuming fire. And then he said, worship accordingly. You know, now we can worship accordingly, and that's what we do. We worship accordingly while we just get up in our daddy's lap. That's what I'm doing. Enjoyed you this morning. Bye-bye.
Wow, thank you, Ravonna. Thank you. I'm going to let Julia and Debbie share, and then I wanted to say some stuff. So hang around if you can, because I wanted to address some stuff you said. But Julia, I believe you're waiting, right?
Yes. Hi, Moses. This was beautiful. As usual, decoration, very thought-provoking. Speaking of the Sabbath, I've been keeping the Sabbath for 32 years. I can date it because I was pregnant when I first gave my life to the Lord. And I have learned to keep in the Sabbath. I keep the seventh-day Sabbath like the Jews. So from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset, starting before Friday, we have what we call we prepare for the day. So you get your food and all that stuff ready, and, you know, you put your clothes to the side. You have dinner made for the Sabbath. And it's basically was a time for family. Now, I actually needed that because as a single parent, raising my kids and working two, sometimes three, one time four jobs, trying to make ends meet, that was the day I could look forward to spending time with my children. So on Friday, we would get together and we'd have worship. And we'd have, you know, we'd sing songs and read the word and have a devotion and go to church together. So that was one portion that I, you know, really needed and didn't know I needed until I started, you know, the family came. And also I started needing it because I was working. And also, then I came to a place where I began to learn to rest, just rest in God, you know, financially, because, you know, there were days where I was tempted. I wanted, you know, I wanted to go and work to make that extra money, you know, but
right.
Wanted to honor God. So I honored God, and little miracles would happen. You know, just like
yeah. Wow.
Money up in the mailbox, somebody come by, bring groceries, you know, stuff like that. So I was like, well, you tell me, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And then went on this courtship with Eric, right? Because I had the Sabbath, I began to get into that place of quiet. And I, you know, we spent time with the Lord, and I would stay in the house for, you know, every Sabbath I would come home and I would have nothing on, and me and the Lord would just have a good time. And I'd sit there and journal, and that's when he would speak to me about being strong, and this is what I have, you know, this is the person I have for you. So he would download stuff to me in those times of quiet. And, you know, I began to see him more, not just as my provider, not just as my, I started seeing him more as my father at that time, because I really needed a dad. I didn't have a dad. So I really needed a dad. It's like, you know, I already made the wrong choice, listening to self. So I'm like, well, you know, and I'm thinking this is the right thing, but I needed my father's approval. So having that time, you know, spending that time, that quality time with God, and shutting the world down, gave me the opportunity to get, you know, connect and to be able to hear his voice and say, yes, this is the man I've chosen for you, my daughter, right?
Wow.
And so I was able to, like, make that transition. But also, it also prepared me, it's preparing me for that time when, where it says, where you won't be able to buy or sell. We have to, you know, what I've learned about the Sabbath too, is when you can set aside that one day and just spend that time with God to reflect on your labors, but also reflect on what he's done, the goodness of the Lord. And you recognize, you know, that he's the provider and stuff. You're practicing for that time when you may not be able to, you know, the world's going to shut us out from stuff. But if you've been...
Yeah.
On a continuous basis of trusting God, like, Lord, I know I need to make that, I got to go and make, you know, I need to make more money, but I'm going to trust you, right? I need to do this, but I'm going to trust you, because you said, you know, there's certain things that you're saying this, you're not able to participate in. Then you are getting, it's like a weekly practice of trusting God, coming to that place of fully trusting him in the times of trouble, you know, which we're fast mm-hmm. approaching. So, I mean, I can go on and on, but yeah, it has definitely been a blessing. And like you said, one thing you said is that, you know, we're ever learning, like as far as the Sabbath, how to take that rest. You know, I really feel like we're ever learning, but I really feel like that when God comes, we'll be in that place of total rest, which means we have that, you know, we have that faith in God that is, to the point where, you know, we're just totally trusting that he's our all in all. You know what I mean? I'm trying to figure out the right word to say. But we will be in our fullness as far as I'm concerned with being endowed with the Spirit, because we have got to that place of trust that nothing can shake it. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. anyway.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. Man, that makes me think of so much too, but I want to give Debbie a chance to share as well, I believe.
Yes, good morning, Moses. Thank you.
Good morning.
Thank you so much. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, absolutely. Loud and clear.
All right. So I just wanted to thank you for your share this morning. I'm so thankful to the Lord when he sends confirmation. About a week and a half or 2 weeks ago, he started speaking to me about the rhythm of my life, and it was a hectic time, you know, in ministry and life and work, and I started just reflecting, and I had been reading this material about the way we're working isn't working. It's an ebook, and this author starts using the analogy of the marathoner versus the sprinter, and talking about how, you know, how the marathoner isn't really fully engaged because they're continuously exerting energy, where the sprinter can start, crouch position, and see the finish line. But then he talked about how that we need that time of rejuvenation and the benefits of taking the time to renew. and how it helps us to tap into our creative energy and broader and deeper perspectives. And so as I listened to you on this morning, I was just like, oh my gosh, yes, Lord. Yes, Father, I hear you, and I'm going to obey, because it's easy to get, you know, caught up into the whirlwind. And I like what Andrew said, and I didn't catch it verbatim because I was walking to the office, but not allowing the pressures of the present prevent us from tapping into the eternity of the future or something to that event. But I just am so grateful. So thank you for your obedience. You're always just very right on time with your declaration. So I appreciate you and love you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate you sharing that. I want to respond to that real quick, but I just wanted, before I forget, I wanted to take a moment, you know, some stuff I was thinking about when everyone was sharing earlier. I almost said tonight. I'm so out of it. I need to probably go rest or do something. But if you ever find yourself like, you know, sometimes I'll be working and I don't work because I'll be on my phone. And you know, with like Instagram and Facebook, and like I play this 8-ball pool app on my phone, and I play it like all the time, like real quick to just get my mind off things. I'll play this little video game on my phone, and I play it all the time. My scores are like so high, so it just tells you I play that game all the time. But you know, I'll tune out. I'm going to my phone to tune out because my body needs a rest. You know, I sleep when I get a free chance. I'll nap, because my body is just aching to rest sometimes. And it gets so bad in my spirit that my body needs to do it. You know what I mean? Like my mind will start, because I'm not resting from work. So my mind wants to jump on the phone and go to Facebook or read an article or read, you know, the news app. I mean, or you know, what's going on with this TV show or what's going on Instagram or whatever, or play that video game. Because my mind is like telling me like, hey, dude, you need to like step away. Like you need to refresh, and I'm doing that. And if you ever find yourself in that place where you're at work and you can't focus and you're in prayer and you can't hear from God, you just hear all these voices. And like, have you ever gone to pray and you immediately start stressing about something, or your mind just starts drifting off to something, and you're like 20 minutes later and you're like, whoa, that Matt, I came in here to pray about something entirely different, and I'm over here just thinking about something. And I'm not even going to lie to you. There's times where I'll set aside time to pray, and then I'll just sit down on my phone and I'll end up playing a game for like 15 minutes. And I'm like, whoa, wait a second. I was here to pray. What am I doing? Like, and then I'll pray. But then I don't even have the energy to pray. It's because I'm not giving myself the appropriate time to have fun. So it's like, have you ever been sleep deprived? And you're so sleep deprived that your body starts taking micro naps. Like you start going into like micro sleep where you're like, I was in the military at one point, you know what I mean? So like I was very sleep deprived at sometimes. But like what happens is your body will start to force you to sleep because it needs it so bad. So our spirit does the same thing where it needs rest so bad. It'll force us into these moments where we drift off. It'll force us into these moments where we rest. And we think that we have a low attention span, and we think that we're like, oh man, I feel like hella guilty because I was supposed to be praying right now and I was like playing this game. But what it is like, it's just our body telling us naturally, like, hey, you need to spend some time to do you, to like read something or like rest or relax or shut everything down, turn off the world. Cause then it's going to re-energize you to pray. It's going to re-energize you to focus on work. And what I always do is I've done this for a long time, because I know how my attention span works. I will work hard. I mean hard, for like 30 minutes or an hour. And I'll take like 15 minute little like mental break, or I'll like play a game or something. Like I said, I work for myself, so I can actually do that, get away with it. But I'll do that because I know that if I don't and I try to go too hard or like go like for like an extended period of time, I just burn myself out and then I'm not even effective anymore. And I read emails that I'm sending to clients and I send instructions and things like that that are very important. And there's like errors in the spelling and I'm like, how did I not even catch that? And there's like errors in what I was telling them to do. And I'm like, I could clearly see what the issue was from their first email. Why did I not catch that? Because I was way too tired. So I encourage everybody to, well, I encourage whoever is off mute, your fire alarm needs a new battery. I encourage that, first of all, first and foremost. But I want to encourage everybody as we close right now, just please take some time for you. Take some time to just rest. Take some time for to just hear from God. You've heard all the testimonies today. There's so much waiting for you in rest. The answer that you're searching for, the job. If you're in a position right now where you need a financial blessing or you have something coming up where you have like a move or your lease is up or something, rest. Go spend Sabbath. Go cancel something for 30 minutes, 15 minutes. If you can be at the place where you're doing a traditional Sabbath, I think Juliet was saying that that's the original Friday night to Saturday night is the original Sabbath. If you have a set or you have like Bernice has Thursdays, like if you can do that in your schedule, then do that. Please do that. But if you can't do that right now, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Don't take your phone. Don't do anything like just go somewhere and just enjoy a conversation with God. Just literally go have a conversation with God. That's how you start it. That's how I started doing it all those years ago that I started. I would just go on a walk around the neighborhood. I literally would just go on a walk on the neighborhood. I'd put my phone on like emergency mode where only like emergency contacts get a hold of me and silent and then, or, you know, and then just walk and talk with God. And I probably looked so crazy. I probably looked so crazy walking around my neighborhood, like having a full on conversation, like, but if I do that though, then this is going to happen though, Lord, I'm going to, and I'm like, I use my hands a lot to speak. And, when I'm talking and I'm walking in front of people's houses, just straight up the same volume that I'm talking to you right now, like just walking, talking with God, but it brought so much answers to my life and my life started to go in a different direction. And I knew, and my mom told me one time, my mom was like, those prayer walks that you go on, she was like, that's the reason why you're successful. She was like, you know, that's the reason why God uses you, the reason why God speaks to you, the reason why God has brought you the job you want, the things you want, you pray for. And like, you need to, don't ever lose that. She told me, don't ever lose that time. Don't ever not make time to do those prayer walks. And I've learned the time in my life when I'm suffering the most is when I'm in isolation away from rest. When I'm in isolation away from Sabbath. So I hope that blessed you. I mean, I know we can talk about this all day and everything, but I really hope everybody has a blessed weekend. And I'm serious. Check that fire alarm, whoever's off mute right now, because that thing is beeping on you. But I want to close this out in prayer real quick. Lord, I thank you, Father, for this community. God, I lift up such a huge thank you, Lord, to you for this community, Lord, this family, this tribe. Father, I just thank you so much, Father, that we can come together like this and we can honor you. We can glorify you, Lord. I praise you. I thank you for everything you've done through us, for bringing us into a place of rest, Lord, because we have real things that are happening in our life, real hurt, real pain, real decisions, even not even pain and suffering, but like real logistical, pragmatic decisions that are coming up in our life that we need help and guidance on. And we might not be hearing anything right now, Lord, but I know that you're going to speak to us in that rest. I know that you're allowing these things to build up in our life because you need us to step away to answer, to listen to you for the answer, not to continue to approach it in the world. So I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for your wisdom. And I pray that, Lord, I pray for a wisdom that is found in Sabbath, Lord. I pray for the peace that is found in Sabbath for each one of us. So I thank you, Lord. I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everybody, for being a part of this service today. You're now dismissed. There's no Friday Night Live tonight, I believe. I could be wrong on that. If I am wrong on that, I apologize. Thank you, guys. And check the batteries on your fire detectors. Everybody have a good weekend. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you.